the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We have a lot in store between now and the end of the program at 7 o'clock, but right now it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6. And Jimmy, tell us about the great prize that's up for grabs this evening.
$25 gift card to Proper Popcorn. That is a craft popcorn shop located at 9700 Kingston Pike in Knoxville. And this is not just a popcorn shop, it's an experience. Their shop has over 50 handcrafted popcorn flavors to choose from. And this is a perfect place for a family outing, a date night, or getting a gift for a loved one. $25 gift card to Proper Popcorn if you can answer this trivia question. All right, I think this is a challenging question. We'll see how we do with this one. Joe Burrow attempted 61 passes last night for the Cincinnati Bengals. That is very close to the NFL record. Now, I'm going to state this the way I saw it, but over the last 20 years, there's only been one rookie quarterback in the NFL that had more pass attempts than Joe Burrow did last night. Name that quarterback. He has a tie to Tennessee, if that helps anybody. Joe Burrow, 61 pass attempts. That's the most by a rookie quarterback in the NFL over the last 20 years, except for one guy. Named the one person that threw more passes as a rookie quarterback than did Joe Burrow.
656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Let's start with Jimmy. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey.
Hi.
Man, I have to be first.
You called first.
Okay. Dan Fouts.
Not Fouts. Not Fouts. And remember, it was within the last 20 years.
Hey, Jimmy, we sure do appreciate it. Thank you very much. Let's go next to Melvin. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Melvin.
Okay, I heard the answer to this question this morning, and I was a damn old. I can't remember it. God almighty, they talked about this. Somebody did it on this station early this morning. Who in the hell? No, it wasn't Peyton. God of Tennessee. I'm searching here through my limited data bank. Okay. Well, I'm going to say Peyton just because I can't think of anybody else right now because I'm too damn old.
But don't blame you for saying Peyton. It is not Peyton. Don't blame you for going there, but it's not Peyton.
Hey, Melvin, we appreciate it. Let's go next to DJ. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, DJ.
How's it going?
Doing well. How are you?
Not too bad. I believe it's Chris Winkie.
It is Chris Winkie. How about that? Chris Winkie.
Yeah, I heard it this morning.
Okay.
I had no clue.
Yeah, I did see the year, and I wasn't sure about all the qualifiers, so I said within the last 20 years just to be safe. But in 2001, when he was a rookie with Carolina, he had 63 pass attempts. How about that? 63. And he completed 34. Now, Joe Burrow completed a rookie record 37, but Winkie completed 34 of his passes. So that was against Arizona. That was against Arizona in 2001. So, okay. Hey, DJ, congratulations to you. You have won a $25 gift card to Proper Popcorn, which is located at 9700 Kingston Pike. Not just a popcorn shop, it's an experience. Hope you enjoy that. We're going to put you on hold and get that gift card to Proper Popcorn to you. Good job.
Hi, guys. Thanks.
All right. Well, and that takes care of the Sports Fix, and no doubt about it, that is That's throwing a lot of taters.
Yes, it is. And what was funny when I was reading this about Winkie, he won his first start as a rookie quarterback in the NFL, but he was on a 1-15 team. So then he lost like 17 consecutive starts. And I don't really know if he won his last start. He won two NFL games. I was trying to figure it out if he won his first start, his last start. But he bounced around a little bit. He was with Carolina for a number of years, went to San Francisco for a brief period. But I just thought that when I saw Chris Winkie's name pop up last night, when I saw that trivia question, I thought, not trivia, when I saw that Burrow was behind only one guy, I thought, man, that's gonna make a good question tomorrow.
Yep.
So, Chris Winkie.
That's well done. So let's see. Why don't we go ahead and get a break? We'll do that. When we return, we'll get a Tennessee football practice report with Eric Kane. That's coming up next as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
When special guests call in to 99.1 The Sports Animal, you hear them on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, stanleyfence.com.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes. John Wilkerson will be calling the Catholic game tonight, so he has departed. Look forward to hearing that. McCauley at Catholic at FM 99.1. We've got Morristown West at Farragut. That's going to be on 990 AM. And then Kingsport Dobbins Bennett at Hardin Valley, FM 98.7. The three high school games that we will have tonight. Meanwhile, let's get to Tennessee football practice report brought to you by Pools by Heritage. And for that, we go to Eric Kane. Eric, how are you?
Hey, Jimmy, doing well. After we just seconds after we wrapped up our practice report yesterday, Tennessee announced that five players have been named to the preseason All-SEC team per the coaches and the SIDs. And they were Trey Smith, Brent Simaglia, offensive lineman, kicker. Those were named to the first team. Offensive lineman Wanya Morris, linebacker Henry Tuoltuo were named to the second team. And Bryce Thompson, cornerback, was a third team recipient. So that's five of Vols named to the preseason All-SEC teams heading into the 2020 season. Again, that was voted on by league coaches and SIDs. But Jeremy Pruitt held a press conference yesterday. It was the last time we will get to speak with Jeremy Pruitt during camp. Officially game week now, and he'll have his weekly Zoom press conference every single Monday now at noon. And so we'll have that on Monday. Also might have some players on Monday. But Jeremy Pruitt essentially met with us and gave us some notes. The biggest takeaway, of course, Cade Mays has won his appeal from the NCAA. He is now approved to play, but it's a caveat in there. The SEC now has to approve it as well. This is a little bit different scenario because you have an undergraduate going from one conference school to another conference school. And so there's a lot of red tape there. But the NCAA has granted his eligibility. Cade Mays won his appeal with the NCAA, but still needs to clear another hurdle with the SEC before he can officially play for Tennessee. Jeremy Pruitt was asked, if the game was today, how many of your two deep would be available? Of course, Tennessee's been battling contact tracing in the last couple of weeks. Anywhere 40 to 50 players have been out at a time, Jeremy Pruitt told us. But he said all of them would be available right now, all of them. And I thought that that was really just tremendous news, despite, I mean, considering where this roster has been in terms of contact trace in the last little bit. But that doesn't mean they're all going to be ready to go, but that would mean that all of them are ready. So I thought that was big. Tight end Austin Pope is not going to play right now. That was per Jeremy Pruitt. Of course, he is recovering from back surgery back in July. He had been out there at camp every practice. From what we have told, he's been making good strides, but apparently not ready to go just yet. So a position of unknowns is even more unknown now with Princeton Fant leading that way. Jeremy Pruitt said that Aubrey Solomon and Wanya Morris have both been in quarantine. Wanya Morris, one of the four players who have been in quarantine twice, and this is really, really jarring to hear. Wanya Morris practiced yesterday for the second time in 23 days. So Wanya Morris might be available to play right now, and he might very well play on Saturday, next Saturday against South Carolina. But, Jimmy, it'd be hard-pressed to have anyone convince me that he's going to be out there snap one at left tackle. You got to practice, and it's not really his fault, but you got to practice. And if you don't have practice reps under your belt, he's probably not ready to start a game anytime soon. But those were the highlights from Jeremy Pruitt. Again, he said there was a lot of special teams, said that the team had two really good back-to-back practices on Tuesday and Thursday. Thursday, they started working towards South Carolina, and that there was a lot of juice and the guys had great energy out there. So those were the highlights from Jeremy Pruitt's press conference yesterday. And of course, that's up. You've heard it right here on Sports Talk. It's up on our website, 99.1thesportsanimal.com.
Yeah, Pruitt said at the quarterback club, and it was kind of a hint, I think. He said you have a situation where a guy goes into quarantine and then he gets out, and then the next thing you know, he's got the virus or contact tracing again, and then he has to go into the quarantine again. He was talking about Wanya Morris.
Yeah, he was talking about Wanya Morris. And I believe earlier during camp, he said that there were four players that have gone into quarantine twice, and obviously Wanya Morris would be one of them, yeah.
Yeah, so that just when you have a situation like that, I just can't imagine that the offensive line is going to be playing at tip-top shape. You have to build some chemistry among that group, as you know. Timing is so important. And the offensive line has been the position that's been hit hardest by the number of people that have missed practice. So, Eric, I think going into that first game, I think it's going to be difficult for the offensive line to play at a high level.
Well, I think so, too. And, again, this is kind of what Trey Smith said the other day when he met with us. He's never really played around the same group of guys for a long period of time since he's been at Tennessee. There's always been a rotating door around him, whether it be if he's at left tackle, it's at left guard. If he's at left guard, being left tackle on the other side of the line of scrimmage. Last year, that right guard spot was a rotating door as well with a couple of different players. Tennessee cross trains. Again, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I think Tennessee is equipped better than some other teams that might not have that practice philosophy and having all their guys practice at different positions because, say Cade Mays gets cleared by the NCAA. By the SEC. Say he's a full go this time next week. Say Darnell Wright did not win that spot at right tackle. Say the coaches are not confident with Darnell Wright starting game one. Cade Mays is your starting right tackle in that scenario. Then that would put Jerome Carvin in there at left guard. Jameer Johnson is probably going to be starting at left tackle against South Carolina. So you're right. There's a lot of different guys. The chemistry is not there right now. That's something that you're just going to have to deal with. Again, Jeremy Pruitt says his entire two deep is available right now. Wanya Morris very well might play. A lot of these guys might play against South Carolina, but they might not play a whole lot simply because they just haven't had a lot of practice reps right now.
Yeah, and I think Aubrey Solomon has missed quite a bit of practice as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's what we're hearing. Of course, he's been in quarantine. Jeremy Pruitt didn't go into specifics on that, but he has been missing some practice, and there's been a couple of guys on that defensive side of the football. There's been more offensive linemen that we haven't even mentioned. The thing with the defensive line, of course, you want them there. You want them practicing. But there's about eight guys that have played and are going to be back this year that can play. And though Jeremy Pruitt is not pleased with the progression of his defensive line, there's a lot of guys that rotate in and out. So in my opinion, it's not as hard of a hit for a guy like Aubrey Solomon to miss a significant portion of time, whereas Wanya Morris on the offensive line missing a significant portion of time. So of course, you want everybody there. You want everybody getting all the available reps, but it looks like Aubrey Solomon has missed quite a bit of time as well.
Pruitt was asked what position group he most excited about, and he didn't name one. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, he kind of said all of them. He's just excited to see his team play. And I guess you can't really. I mean, whenever you've been in a camp with a spring practice like a camp here for 5 weeks now, you're just ready to see your team play and ready to see all of your position groups just get reps. And again, he's said this countless times, in order to get better as a football player, you just need to go out there and play. Ball carriers need to be getting hit after hit after hit to learn how to secure that football. Your defenders need to be making tackle after tackle after tackle in order not to have wrong head placement or let ball carriers run through your arms. And just see all these guys get out there and get some reps and start building depth at the quarterback or depth at the wide receiver, whatever position it may be, start feeling like football players again, because there's been so many guys who have been out. So he didn't name a position, because I feel like he, like us, he's losing track of who all's been in practice and who all's not, but he's just ready to see him get out there and play in the game.
Any other news or notes?
That will about do it. Again, I mentioned this yesterday. Again, Colin Hill named South Carolina's starting quarterback. It's kind of interesting. Ron Helinski was the incumbent. He was the starter last year as a freshman, but this does make sense. Colin Hill came with Mike Bobo from Colorado State. Interesting story about Colin Hill, Jimmy. I'm sure you've heard of it. He has torn his ACL three times. Torn his ACL three times and now given it another go. So it's a great story for Colin Hill, and we'll have to see how he does. But he will be the starting quarterback as of right now against the Volunteers on September 26th, which is just 8 days away. It's hard to believe. So that is a Tennessee football practice report here brought to you by Pools by Heritage. You can beat the spring rush. Get your pool started now. From design to construction to maintenance, one call does it all. Call Pools by Heritage at 947-7527.
Eric, appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Jimmy. You too.
And that's Eric Kane with our practice report. Let's hear now from Ty Simpson. He's a quarterback. He's out of Martin, Tennessee. He was on the nation. He is one of the top quarterback prospects in the nation as a junior for the class of 2022. Here are comments from Ty Simpson.
You know, you've got the pick of the litter when it comes to, you know, all the offers that you have. But I know right now you're really kind of enjoying this undefeated start that you and your team are on at the high school level. What's been the key for this first month of the season? How much fun has the last 4 weeks been?
It's been really fun, you know. We just being able to play the game that we love and, you know, have some normal in our life. But, you know, I think a big part of, you know, our success so far has been everybody buying in. Nobody, you know, thought that we'd play this year due to the circumstances, you know, that there were some doubts. But, you know, as we got the you know, permission to play, we had a talk as a team. You know, we got to be bought in this season that, you know, even though that we didn't have spring and we didn't have, you know, the practices that, you know, we could have had in the summer, that, you know, we want to make most of the opportunity we have.
How much different has it been being an upperclassman now that you're a junior? I know you've been a leader, you know, and have played since your freshman year, but now that you're really kind of one of the older guys on campus, how much does that help you when you're talking to your teammates and trying to lead them on Friday nights?
It certainly helped a lot. You know, as a freshman and sophomore start, you know, I wasn't really the big dog, I guess you can say, in the locker room, just because of, you know, people were older than me and, you know, have played high school longer than I have. But now, since, you know, I'm a junior now and, you know, all the guys have, you know, played just as fast as I have, they realize, you know, hey, you know, Ty is, you know, going to lead us, you know, the best way that he can. And a lot of people have, you know, hopped on the ship in what, you know, we believe in, me and the coaching staff. So,
hey, it's Chris with ESPN. We really appreciate you spending some time with us tonight. A couple things I want to throw at you. Anybody who's watched your tape, your ability to move and throw the football on the move just jumps off the tape. Where do you think you have improved the most? Where do you still see yourself going from here? Where do you need to improve? What part of your game as you go forward?
I pride myself in, throwing – on the run and off platform throws, like Patrick Mahomes does a great job in that. But, you know, a lot of improvement that I need to do is, you know, stepping up in the pocket and, you know, being able to deliver a strike, you know, down the field on a, you know, in breaking route, whether it be a dig or something like that. You know, everybody knows that I can, you know, get out of the pocket and throw like that. But, you know, Tom Brady and, you know, Phillip Rivers and Peyton Manning, those guys, know, be able to step up in the pocket and, you know, take it, you know, those NFL guys. You know, wherever I go to college, you know, I plan on doing that, you know, to wherever I play again.
Ty, you know, your dad, most people don't know, or some people know, some people may not. Your dad's the head coach at UT Martin, Jason Simpson. To be able to have him around a little bit more this fall for your junior year with UT Martin not playing, you know, how much fun is that to kind of have your dad at every game, and then for you and your brothers and sisters to be able to, like, hang out with him on the weekends and on Sundays? And I think I saw him and your younger brother went hunting yesterday. How much fun is that you're getting a little extra time with dad?
Oh, it's been a blast. You know, it's very unfortunate that, you know, he didn't get to play this year because he would have had a really good team, and it bums him out because, you know, we love the game so much. But for him to be able to come to my practices and be able to coach me, help my teammates out, coach the O-line, and also, you know, going to play golf with each other on Saturdays is, you know, something I would not trade for anything. It, you know, it's just so awesome to be able to hang out with him and be able to do that, because, you know, as time goes on, I'm not going to be able to do that as much as I, you know, want to or, you know, need to.
Ty, this is Chris again. I wondered, now that college football started and you watch games or get to watch games on Saturday, how do you watch them? What do you watch for? What's, you know, someone who's getting recruited by all these teams, I mean, you can go anywhere you want to go. I know you're, you know, that's one of those things when you're as highly recruited as you are, you know, you see these teams and these coaches on the sidelines that you've interacted with. But when you watch games on Saturday, someone from your viewpoint, what's it like?
Yeah, so, you know, it's hard to watch it as a fan, you know, you, as a coach's son, and you know, as a having a coaching in the house, you know, it's very, very hard. But you know, we watch them together. But we see, you know, how many times they pass the game. You know, what is their, you know, scheme like on offense? You know, what the coaches do on the sideline, how the quarterback plays, and how, you know, the quarterback carries himself and footwork and stuff like that. Just, you know, so I can picture myself there. If I wanted to go play quarterback at school and how I would do in that offense and that system and things like that.
Ty, when you obviously you're working towards a decision slowly, you know, and you and I have had this conversation several times about what's important. But I mean, you know, I know it. You know, kind of being a guy that can lead a program is important. I know playing in the NFL is important. I know kind of leaving your mark on a place is important. What else is important for you? What, you know, when you sit down and talk over things with your mom and your dad, and you're looking at places, you know, what are you looking for?
You know, a family atmosphere. You know, I take pride on, and my dad does too, in his program, on, you know, having his coach's kids, you know, running around their offices and buildings, you know, before every home game, and you know, pretty much every game, their kids run out with the team. You know, things like that are very, very, you know, noticeable to a recruit like me, just because, you know, I've been around the college program for all my life, and, you know, UT Martin has done me and my family very, very well. And, you know, I want to be able to play in a setting like that, but at the highest level that I can.
Were you flipping back and forth last night watching Spencer Rattler and Trevor Lawrence and some of those guys, you know, go to work at those schools that are recruiting you?
For sure. You know, unfortunately, you know, I wasn't going to pay $45 to watch Spencer, but I sure did watch Trevor Lawrence and him swing that rock around.
How much do you look forward to watching Tennessee play South Carolina coming up on the 26th? Obviously, they're one of the main schools recruiting you, and obviously you and Coach Winkie and Coach Pruitt and Coach Chaney have a pretty strong relationship. Is that something you kind of look forward to seeing, what kind of progress they've made?
Oh, I'm very looking forward to, you know, watching that game. I'm excited to see how this defense plays, you know, because, of course, you know, it's one of the top defenses in the nation, of course, with Coach Pruitt and his knowledge and all that defensive staff. But I'm also, you know, looking forward to watching JG and, you know, the wideout and the wideouts and the offensive line play in that offense. You know, talking to Coach Winkie and Coach Kane, Coach, you know, Pruitt, you know, they're very impressed about how JG has, you know, carried himself this year and how much he's put work in the offseason. You know, JG, he didn't have the vision that he wanted last year, you know. So, you know, he's got that chip on his shoulders to, you know, be the best that he can be and be the best that, you know, his team wants him to be and be able to take Tennessee to the SEC championship and hopefully the college football playoff.
Well, Ty, we appreciate the time tonight. Good luck this week as you take on Covington. It's a big game for you and Martin Westview.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you all.
Thank you, Ty.
That's, I think, the best quarterback this state's ever produced.
Ooh, big
Ty Simpson.
Ty Simpson on The Nation. When we come back, it's Hamer time. We'll be joined by VFL Steve Hamer. This is Sports Talk 99.1, the sports animal.
Hey, this is VFL Joshua Dobbs, and we're counting it down. It's just
8 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go Hawks!
Stop. Hamer time. Touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. My.
All right, we got Hamer time. You can tell by the music. Steve Hamer, VFL, joins us now. Steve, how you doing?
Jimmy, I'm doing great. On a fantastic weekend here. Looks like we finally got some fall temps, so I'm doing great. Looking for some forward to some college football.
All right, let's talk a little NBA. We got the Denver Nuggets, who seem to be at their best when they're down 3-1. What about those guys? They rallied from 3-1 against Utah. They rallied from 3-1 against the Clippers. Your thoughts on Denver's ability to win when their back's against the wall?
I think they're a tough-nosed basketball team, Jimmy, and they play together. You know, they share the ball exceptionally well. And they're, you know, exuding confidence from all aspects of the game, whether it's shooting. I think they've got a fantastic coach, and they play together as a team. You know, when you have someone like Jokic, who goes 5-for-13 in a closeout game, but is the most impactful player on the floor, that speaks volumes for the type of team that they've got. So, you know, they're going to be fairly dangerous to the Lakers. You know, I think the Lakers are a little bit more athletic and have a lot more playoff experience. But, you know, it's going to be a great series.
I think the Lakers are much better defensively at center than the Clippers. I think they're going to give Jokic some problems with that, with Dwight Howard and or Anthony Davis. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. You know, there's a lot of bodies, especially given the fact that the Lakers did not play their bigs in the last series against Houston because they had to match up and utilize the guards and the forwards to match up with Houston. So, you know, the bigs are going to be well-rested. The Lakers have had now 4 or 5 days off. They're going to be well-rested. But it's going to be one of those things. Is it going to be rust or rest for the first game or two? As LeBron alluded to the first game with the Rockets, that it took them a while just to get used to the speed of the Rockets. So it may take them a game or two to kind of fill out the Nuggets. But, you know, I think the bigs from the Lakers are going to play a key and vital role to help the Lakers get to the NBA Finals.
So Denver was down to the Clippers by, I think, 12, 16, and 19 points and rallied to win. Was that just a choke job, a collapse by the Clippers?
I think it was, Jimmy. I think that when you have a team like the Clippers that were put together to win a championship, not, you know, 5 years from now, not 2 years from now, but right now, and, you know, when you have Kawhi who comes back to Southern California to play where he's from, Paul George comes back to Southern California to play where he's from, and you have all of the pieces around them, defense, you've got rebounding, you've got scoring, And you let a 3-1 lead slip through your fingers. It's you hate to use the word choke, but you know there's not a whole lot of adjectives that are more befitting.
All right, on the other side, we have got the Miami Heat, which is they've been terrific in the playoffs. I think they're 10-1 right now. They beat Boston. Boston had a 17-point lead. I think when the Heat went to the zone, that seemed to unnerve Boston in the second half.
It really did, Jimmy. You know, the Heat with Eric Spoelstra, you know, one of the best, youngest minds in the game, kind of threw a wrench in Boston's plan and went to that 3-2 zone. You know, it really set the tone for the Heat defensively. And, you know, they're a very dangerous basketball team because they play so well together. They're a tough basketball team. They never say die. And, you know, Jimmy, given the fact that they have yet to lose a game in the playoffs in regulation, you know, the only game they lost was in overtime. So, you know, they're battle-tested. They're ready to play. And the Celtics better pull it together. You know, I think that they had a come-to-Jesus meeting last night, apparently. So, you know, hopefully that's going to turn them around and they're going to play better, much more so than anything else on the offensive end. They've got to be able to score. They've got to be able to hit wide open jumpers.
So Brad Stevens called a meeting with four of his leaders after it was reported that things were thrown in the locker room. There was a lot of yelling, a lot of cussing. What do you think a meeting like that with the head coach can do to perhaps settle his team down?
Well, more than anything else, I think it gives them a chance to refocus. You know, Brad Stevens is a calming, has a very calming demeanor. You know, he never gets too high, never gets too low on the sidelines. I love to watch him coach. And you've got some dynamics at play here with someone like Marcus Smart, who can be, you know, very outspoken from time to time. And you've got a lot of guys that are used to taking the final shot, used to taking the big time shot, and they're not playing well together right now. So, you know, I expect for them to come out tomorrow night. I expect for them to win tomorrow night, and I expect for them to tie it up, and then it's going to be the best of three going down the stretch.
What's the key for Boston? Just better offensive, just better shooting? Is that it?
I think it's better execution. I think Coach Stevens, he better figure out how to overcome that 3-2 zone, because I think that, you know, the Celtics are going to see a lot more action in that 3-2 zone. And, you know, I look forward to seeing Grant Williams play a whole lot more. You know, he's getting some key minutes down in the bubble, not only the finish of the regular season, but he's getting some key minutes in the playoffs, and I think he can really help them. You know, I think that he's quick on his feet. He's a heady basketball player, and he can knock down an open three, which, you know, I don't think Tice really gives them on the offensive end.
All right, as far as the MVP award, it goes to Giannis again. He is a two-time MVP winner. Would that have been your selection?
I think so, Jimmy. You know, and obviously it's based on the regular season. And, you know, let's face it, he hasn't had a great playoff run as of yet. But if you're basing it on the regular season, the way he scores at an exceptional clip, he rebounds, and he's such a commanding presence on the defensive end. I think he's the most valuable player. And I have to put LeBron as second. You know, for someone that has been in the league now for 17-plus years, and he still electrifies, you know, the crowd. He's still the marquee player in the NBA. You know, he is a very close second if I had a vote.
Why have the Bucks not done better? You got the MVP. You got a team that statistically is one of the best defensive teams in the league. You got a couple of pretty good pieces led by Middleton. Why are the Bucks not better in the playoffs?
I think the Bucks are not better because they don't shoot the ball very well to close out very many games, Jimmy. You know, in the playoffs, it's much more of a defensive mindset. Especially when you're trying to shut down someone like Antetokounmpo. You know, most teams are going to wall up. They're not going to let him score in transition. They're going to put two, three guys sometimes to keep him from getting to the basket, and then he's got to make a great decision on kicking the ball to the perimeter, to the wide-open shooter, and they just didn't have a whole lot of timely scoring from the perimeter besides Chris Middleton. And that really, really hurt them. So, you know, they're going to have to find some pieces in the offseason. You know, first and foremost, they got to find a way to lock up Giannis, you know, long term. But then they got to find some pieces around him that can really shoot the ball well from the three.
Blue Ribbon Magazine has come out with their preseason poll. They've got Tennessee number 5. Do you think that's about right?
I did a double take, Jimmy, when I saw that. I was very surprised at the fact that Tennessee was ranked number 5. And you know, I looked to find our neighbors that wear blue to the north, and they're considerably behind Tennessee by quite a bit. So
13th.
You know, yeah, I'm happy. But Jimmy, I like the underdog role for Tennessee, and I know that, you know, we're not going to be able to play that card much longer with the talent that Coach Barnes is bringing in. But I think that's a little high for us. I'd like to see us in the mid-teen somewhere and put a chip on these guys' shoulders you know, watch approve. But that, you know, that speaks volumes for what Coach Barnes has done and what he is doing.
So we had somebody ask earlier, what does Eve Pons need to do to become a first-round draft pick? I said he needs to improve his overall offensive game, which is a more consistent three-point shooter, shooting off the bounce, and ball handling. Would you agree with that? And is there another area where he thinks he needs to improve to be a first-rounder?
Yeah, I agree with all those, Jimmy, and I think he's got to be better with his lateral movement. If he is going to be able to shoot the three, if he's going to be able to shoot the ball off the bounce, obviously he can play defense in the interior. You know, he's going to be asked to play defense on the perimeter as well, because the NBA is a different animal. You know, you look at some of these teams now, and they switch all five positions across the board. And the Celtics did that the other night. And you would be expected, or he would be expected, to be able to guard someone on the perimeter. So I think he's got to be able to be faster laterally, and he can do that. You know, he's got to work. He's got to develop that. But I think you're exactly right. Besides that, he's got to be able to handle the ball a lot better, and he's got to be able to shoot a lot better as well from the three.
Louisville has said that it plans to play non-conference games in a bubble. They're looking for 8 to 12 teams to join them to play 3 to 5 games between November 25 and December the 5th. Do you think this has a chance of working?
Jimmy, I don't know. I'd like to see it. I just don't know that there are going to be a lot of teams, namely Tennessee, that are going to jump at the fact that, you know, here's an opportunity to play some big-time competition that early in the season, given the fact that we can't play any games until the 25th of November. Mm-hmm. So I think Tennessee, you know, that they're probably going to ease themselves into the schedule. Obviously, we're not going to play Wisconsin, which would have been a great matchup for us, you know, early on in the season. But, you know, I think there may be some smaller schools that are going to take advantage of that to try to get some tournament-style play. But I just can't see too many big-time schools doing that early in the season. I'm looking forward to the December 19th matchup with Memphis as far as one of our biggest games early on in the season.
And that's scheduled for Nashville, isn't it?
Scheduled for Nashville. And, you know, there'll be a lot on the line for that particular game. When you had Tennessee go down to beat Memphis in M-Town a couple of years ago, Memphis returned the favor last year here, very much so against a depleted Tennessee basketball team at that point. But, you know, that's going to be winner take all, bragging rights, because, Jimmy, I don't think they're going to play for a while longer. So this is going to be a big time matchup for Tennessee, and the guys that in Orange Britches may be playing that day as well, Jimmy, in the SEC championship game.
There you go. How about that? Hey, Steve, thank you. Always great to catch up with you. We appreciate it, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Jimmy, thank you so much. Look forward to it next week.
Thank you, sir. All right, that's VFL Steve Hamer. When we come back, we'll go through Blue Ribbon's top 25. Also, a story about a quarterback that transferred from California to Georgia. I thought that was pretty interesting as well. This is Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.
From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting.
Here's to swimming with bow-legged women.
This is Sports Radio WNML.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. So what's that U.S. Open leaderboard look like after round two? Well, the leader is Patrick Reed, who may have hit the ball worse than anybody I've ever seen to shoot even par in a tournament. He is 4 under par. Bryson DeChambeau, eagle the last hole. He is 3 under par for the tournament. Justin Thomas, up and down, shot a 73 today. He is 2 under par, as well as Cabrera Bello and Harris English at 2 under par. The scoring average on day one, 72.56. The scoring average in round two was closer to 75. The Blue Ribbon preseason top 25. Gonzaga was 1, Virginia 2, Baylor 3. Tennessee comes in at number 5 in that poll. Kansas is 6th, then Wisconsin, Iowa, Duke, and Texas Tech. Kentucky is 13, Alabama 14. So that's a look at their poll. A couple of others, 16 is UCLA, 17 North Carolina. You got 19 is Michigan State, 21 Ohio State. So that's a look at the Blue Ribbon top 25. Also, there was a story of Jake Garcia, the quarterback from California. I was reading Mark Schlabaugh with ESPN wrote a really good story. Garcia, California doesn't have high school football, and he's a four-star quarterback. So the family transferred. They moved to Georgia, but not all of them moved there. The parents got a legal separation because in Georgia, to transfer in and be eligible, both parents have to move. But if you only have one parent, it's okay. So the dad moved in with the son, legal separation from the wife, and the son is playing in California at Valdosta for Coach Rush Props. You might remember that name. And so Garcia has had a couple of really good games. They've already had one game that's been canceled. But it's the things that parents will do for their kids. I thought that was really intriguing to see that they moved to California and the parents got a legal separation to make it okay for him to play right away. All right, high school football tonight. We've got Macaulay at Catholic on FM 99.1. Morristown West will be at Farragut, and that's going to be 990 AM. Kingsport Dobbins Bennett against Hardin Valley, FM 98.7. Nobody does a better job of high school coverage than we do, and we'll have our high school preview coming up shortly. So you want to make sure that you stay here for that. Want to thank all the guests that we had during the week. Want to thank all that listened as well. Hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. This has been Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.